Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon today. We're so glad that you've joined us, and we are going to talk about a very important subject that hits close to home for every single one of us, including me, of course. But before we do, why don't we open in prayer? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. And let's take a moment to ask the Lord Jesus to prepare our heart to hear his word and to confess sin that we need to confess to get the channels open between us and God open completely. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us, please, for our sin this week. Cleanse us from it as you promise you will. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, speak to us from your word today. May our hearts be open and ready to listen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Okay. Well, remember what we're studying on Live with Lon. We're studying, say with me, come on, the Bible. Here we go. The whole Bible and nothing but the Bible. And then we're applying it to our lives, right? Yes. Okay. And we're in Luke's Gospel. We're studying the Gospels. We're in Luke's Gospel right now, chapter 11. As Luke fills in a little bit of information and data that Matthew did not put in his Gospel. Both Gospels are true. It's just some included the information the other didn't. And we are actually going to compare Luke and Matthew today as we talk about a very important topic. And the topic is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So without any further ado, let's begin. We're in Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 37. Let's follow along. And as he, Jesus, that is, spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And Jesus went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he, Jesus, had not first washed before dinner. Now, this refers to a custom that the rabbis had, a ritual that they prescribed that's still followed today by ultra-Orthodox Jews, which is you wash your hands before eating. When we go to Israel, there's always a little hand-washing station in the restaurant where people can wash their hands before they come in and eat. It's ritualistic, it's not sanitation, it's ritual, that is to be clean before God and to make sure nothing dirty goes inside of us and defiles us. Now, Jesus didn't wash his hands. And it amazed the rabbi because Jesus was not following this rabbinic tradition. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, wash your hands before eating. So Jesus wasn't disobeying the Bible. He was disobeying this ritual that the rabbis had come up with. And may I just say, washing your hands before you eat is a very important sanitary principle. And I'm sure Jesus mostly washed his hands before he ate. But this day, he didn't, in order to expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the rabbis who insisted on this cleansing so you wouldn't be dirty. Now, watch what happens. We're in verse 39. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made what is outside make what is inside also? And now look at verse 43. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, there's our word, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. We're going to go to Matthew 23 in a few minutes, where Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs, which outside look great, but inside are full of dead men's bones. But this is the point. that these rabbis were completely caught up in how the outside looked of themselves, and the outward rituals, like washing their hands, but they weren't worried about the inside. And Jesus said, wait a minute, God made the inside and the outside. You're like a tomb where the outside looks good, but the inside doesn't look good. Now, he goes on, watch. Verse 45, then one of the lawyers answered. Remember, these were experts in the Old Testament law, and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. And he said, really? Well, listen to this. Woe to you lawyers! For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch those burdens with one of your fingers. Verse 52, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something, he might say, that they might accuse him. This castigation of the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, is parallel to a larger passage in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 23, where Jesus said some of these very same things to the scribes and the Pharisees, but he amplified and said more. So, let me take you to Matthew chapter 23. Now remember, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, these were the religious leaders of Israel. And these were the folks who told Israelis what the Bible and what the oral tradition of the rabbis said, expecting them to do it. And so Jesus is condemning them. For as he says, you didn't get into heaven. You're not going to heaven. Watch, he's going to say that again. And worse, you're hindering those who are trying to figure out how to go by coming to me. You're hindering them and telling them not to come to me. All right, so you know who he's talking to now. Let's look at Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat of authority. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say, and they do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move that burden, them, those burdens, with one of their fingers. Verse 13, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Let's skip over to verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you will go about on land and sea to make one proselyte, one convert, and when he's made, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Down to verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These weightier things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Look at verse 33. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Wow. You know, people always talk about how Jesus was all about love, and the God of the Old Testament was all about wrath. This is not true. The God of the Old Testament was a God of love, and just like he was a God of justice, and Jesus obviously is a God of justice as well as love, the way he condemns these religious leaders. So there's not a God of the Old Testament and a different God of the New Testament. No, friends, both of them are just and both of them are loving. But here Jesus is being just and he's judging these religious leaders. And I love a couple things he says about them, and then we'll go to so what. First of all, he says, serpents, you brood of vipers. Look at verse 33. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Can you imagine calling the religious leaders of Israel, you see, serpents, you brood of vipers? Why? Because they were like snakes in the grass trying to trap him and be catch him off guard. And I love what he says in verse 15. He says, you hypocrites, you go about on land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. He's worse off once you teach him all of the things you're doing, all of your hypocrisy. And look what he says. He said, blind guides, verse 24, you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. We all know that, a very common phrase in America. And finally, I just would like to point out from Luke chapter 11. Look back there with me. Let's look in Luke chapter 11. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, that is about how to get to heaven. You did not enter in yourselves by trusting in Christ, and those who were entering, trying to enter, you hindered. Now, this is really disturbing because this is still the way it is today in the Jewish faith. The leaders, the rabbis, aren't going to heaven because they haven't trusted Christ. And then they use their authority and their position and their influence to hinder a Jewish people who want to find out how to go to heaven. I remember years ago we did an outdoor witnessing campaign with Jews for Jesus right here in Washington, D.C. And I went down, put on my Jews for Jesus shirt, went down with my track bag into Washington, D.C. I was right down there giving out tracts. And what I learned is that the rabbis who had learned that we were going to be here for several weeks doing this campaign, in their sermon on the Sabbath, had told their people, their constituents, just say no. Meaning, when we go to give you a tract, just say no. When we go to talk to them about Jesus, just say no. When we go to try to appeal to them on the basis of the scripture to give their life to Jesus, don't even get into a discussion with them, these rabbis told them. The best thing for you to do is just say no. Don't talk to them. Don't take their tract. Don't stop on the street. Don't get into a conversation. I was told this by some of the Jewish people that I tried to talk to. They were instructed by their rabbis, just say no. And that broke my heart, because I don't know, some of those Jewish people walking by on the street might have actually been open to the gospel if they'd have stopped long enough and gotten into conversation long enough to let us appeal to them and give them some information. But here's a case of the rabbis doing exactly what Jesus said here in the Bible. Not only are they not going to heaven because of their unbelief in Christ, but they're trying to hinder people who might be trying and be interested. Hey, you know, if I hadn't stopped on the street and talked to Bob Eckhart in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I never would have come to Christ. So what they're trying to do, these rabbis, is they were trying to push the perimeter way out. So they didn't have Jewish people getting information about Jesus and then chewing on that and trying to assimilate that, and then even coming to them and asking them, well, what about this and what about that about Jesus? So they just said, just say no. Push the perimeter way out there, and we won't have to even deal with it. How tragic, my friends. Tragic. Tragic. And the rabbis did it here in the days of Jesus, just completely telling people Jesus was not the Messiah. Don't pay any attention to it. Tragic. Okay, well, that's as far as we want to go in our passage today, but now we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Here we go. Come on now. One, two, three. What? So what? Yes. How sweet. Come on, say that with me. How sweet it is. Yes. Well, Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 called the religious leaders of Israel hypocrites, 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 over and over. What does the word hypocrite mean? Well, it comes from a Greek word, hypokrites, sounds just like hypocrite, right? Hypokrites was used of actors in Greek plays, where they would hold a mask on a stick in front of their face, pretending to be that character, but behind the mask, they were obviously another character, a different person. And that's where we get our phrase two-faced. Two-faced, the mask and then the reality. So to be a hypocrite means to wear a mask. To be a hypocrite means to project that you're one kind of person when in reality you're another kind of person. That's what a hypocrite is. And we, as followers of Jesus today, are often accused of being hypocrites by our world. And this is a very serious charge against us, against the church, and against us as individual Christians, you know, because it undermines our credibility, and it gives people excuses to not even pay attention to the gospel. How many times have you tried to share Jesus with someone who would say to you, yeah, well, but I knew somebody who claimed to be a Christian, and they did this, and they did that, and they did the other thing. And with that, use that as an excuse to just blow off any information you want to give them about the gospel. Being known or considered hypocrites by people in our world is an extremely damaging evaluation of us when it comes to being able to spread the gospel. And so this is something that we as Christians have to be very much sensitive to. We need to be authentic, not hypocritical. Now, what kind of hypocrisy are we talking about? Well, I want to mention, first of all, hypocrisy comes when we teach and preach one thing and demand it of other people, and when we don't do it ourselves. Remember what Jesus said. Let me take you back to it. Matthew 23, verse 4. For they, the religious leaders of Israel, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them, these burdens, with one of their fingers. So this is what they did. They required these incredibly hard rules for their constituents, the Jewish people, but then they wouldn't keep those rules themselves. We know what this is like today. Preachers who preach hard against something, and then we find out that they're doing the exact thing they're preaching against. And no wonder, in that case, people consider them hypocrites. I remember, I just read recently, 2020, the year of the pandemic last year, where there was this politician, I won't tell you his name, who made a stay-at-home order, an executive order for stay-at-home for all the people under his jurisdiction, and then he took off and went to Cabo with his family for a vacation. This is hypocrisy, preaching something and laying it on other people, and then we won't touch it with our little finger, as the Bible says. And as Christians and as Christian leaders, we're often guilty of this. Judging people for doing things that we say we won't do, and yet we do them. Judging people for gossip, and yet we gossip. Judging people for malice in their heart against others, and yet we have malice in our heart against others. Judging people for playing cards and having a glass of wine, and yet we do the very same thing when we're in the privacy of our friends and our home, and on and on and on we could go. I remember when I was in seminary, Pastor A.W. Jackson, he was at Cherrydale Baptist Church for 25 years here in Arlington. He told us a story. He was teaching his pastoral ministry. I'll never forget it. And I love that man. One of the sweetest, godliest men I've ever met in my life. He told us a story about how he had made a decision with this woman who came in to ask him, she was divorced, if she could get remarried. And he said he didn't believe so because of his position. And then 10 years later, he reconsidered his position and reconsidered his decision and decided she could get married. And she said to him, this is what he told us, she said, Pastor Jackson, for you, this is just theology. For me, it's my life. And he used that example against himself as a stern warning to us students to be very careful the kind of burdens we laid on other people and then later either changed our minds or that we would lay on others and then go off and not pay attention to ourselves. And it's a good warning. Boy, you want somebody to brand you a hypocrite. That's all we need to do, folks, is preach one thing and practice another. And we as Christians have done much too much of that in front of an onlooking world. And then the other way for us to qualify as hypocrites is for us to pretend to be something that later it's discovered we're not. To pretend, and these are what the rabbis did. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Look, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, tombs that are painted white, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Why did he say lawlessness? Well, because they're trying to kill him, which was, you know, as he says later in John chapter 8, Abraham didn't try to kill me. Why are you trying to kill me? This is against the law. They didn't care. They wanted him gone. So my point is, outside, in front of people, they presented themselves as pious and righteous and godly and huge men of God. But Jesus said, you know, you're like a whitewashed tomb. You look like that on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness and greed and all kinds of sin. And this is the other way for us to surely be branded hypocrites, is to pretend that we're something on the outside that later people discover we're not. Righteousness, piety is certainly one of those things. But also, even in more mundane things, like, you know, we can criticize people for gossiping, but then we gossip. As I said earlier, we can present ourselves as this godly, sweet, righteous person. But when somebody crosses us, we're amazingly able to become angry and to take revenge. We're very vindictive and mean. You know what I'm talking about. The solution is to try to be different on the inside. Don't present yourself as mean, but try to be different on the inside with the Holy Spirit's help. Now, let me say two things in closing. Number one, as I said earlier, the solution to all of this is not to try to be more honest about being mean and gossipy and everything else on the outside. The right solution is to ask God to change us and sublimate our flesh and give us self-control over our flesh so we can match up better to the kind of person that he wants us to be as a Christian. People expect Christians to be a certain way. They're not stupid. They expect us to be kind. They expect us to be loving. They expect us to be merciful. They expect us to be non-judgmental in the personal matters of life. They expect us to have mercy on other people and be be willing to give other people second chances. This is what they expect. They expect us not to smoke or cuss or drink or chew or hang around with them which do, the old Baptist saying. They expect us not to look at pornography, and they expect us not to tell dirty jokes, and they expect us not to lust after people of the opposite sex. This is what they expect. And we need to ask God to help us live up to these things in our personal life and pray the Holy Spirit would change us and sublimate our fleshly sinfulness. And the other thing I want to say is, if we've been a hypocrite in front of somebody and we've definitely created that impression, the only way to fix it, my friends, is to go and own it and admit it and tell them we did it and that we're sorry and ask them to forgive us. That's the only way to restore credibility, is to go and do that and say, I'm sorry, I was a hypocrite. I want to apologize. I don't want you to hold that against the Lord because I did it, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And this, hey, listen, this means our children too. Now, you can't even tell you how many people have turned against the faith because in their homes growing up, they saw their father, their mother, or both going to church and being, oh, praise God, raising their hand and worship, whatever, and then coming home and being a completely different type of person. And it made them cynical to the point where they're very hard to reach with the gospel because of that cynicism. Listen, apologizing to your children, I did it all the time, because we're all hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, because we're sinners and we can't get it right all the time. And I can't tell you how many times I had to tell my children that what Daddy did was hypocritical, it was wrong, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I'm going to try to do better. So our children are included in that. Well, I hope that this will spur us on to try to really let the Holy Spirit change us into the people that God wants us to be, that people expect us to be as believers. And if we've blown it, let's go fix it. Humiliate, humble ourselves before the person we've blown it with and ask for forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would forgive us, me, all of us, for being hypocritical. Lord, we all are guilty of that as followers of Christ, because we're all sinners and we all have that sinful human nature, Lord, that sometimes just overwhelms us and causes us to do things that are completely hypocritical. Forgive us, Lord. May the Holy Spirit be given the freedom in all of our lives to change us into more and more what you expect us to be and what people expect us to be, Lord. And if we've blown it, Lord, give us the courage to go back to people, whether it's a child in our house or someone at work or a neighbor or someone in our extended family, our relatives, and accept the responsibility, own our stuff, and ask to be forgiven. Lord, deal with us on this issue of hypocrisy and help us to become acutely sensitive to it in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, great to have you today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be back with what? The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible and nothing but the Bible. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great week.